Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a saku in the wind.
Never knowing what to bake when the flour poured in. We would have loved to have known you. But it was just TV. The count, the legend
before
ever, something.
The Paul Hollywood sent you home. A fitting tribute to start what is a sad week.
A sad, sad week. Bake Off 7, dessert week. And desserts.
It all happened.
Deserting.
It happened so quickly. I mean, this whole episode, it was sad. It was all sad, the whole thing.
It was all sad. It was. You're absolutely right. Because, like, you know, it ended sad, but it began sad because there were some bad things in this episode.
Yeah, what the hell?
I mean...
Yeah, I also concluded from this that, like, I absolutely hate dessert if this is what dessert is.
Normally I'm like, right, which one is Holly going to like? Which one am I going to like? And it's like, all of this was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. None of this appealed to me. None of this appealed to me.
No, it was all wrong. I thought the middle bit would have been okay for you, but it was a complete car crash. Oh, look, dessert week.
God.
Let's start at the beginning. Start at the beginning. We are going to start with... I haven't even written it down. Signature. Look, that's how I was about all of this.
Well, the signature I have written down, it was 8 creme caramels.
Fucking hell. Okay, right, bring on the signature theme.
It's time for the signature.
Signature.
Signature time. It's signature time.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Right, creme caramels. What are your thoughts on a creme caramel?
The first thing I thought about creme caramels, and I'm not even, I was actually a bit irritated that Tasha said this because I was going to say it before she said it, was that challenge that people do when they suck a creme caramel up in one go.
Yeah.
I really, really wanted to get us creme caramels for this episode, but I thought about, dear listener, I thought about the experience for you having to listen to us sucking a creme caramel up in one go. So I thought maybe not, maybe for a visual thing another time.
Yeah. But, how disgusting. My brother used to do that. Does, actually.
It's all I can think they're good for, to be honest, is doing that for a joke.
I think I was so, I love Tasha already, obviously, but I loved her even more when she said that creme caramels were gross. Because I was like, yes, at least there's one sensible person here, because they are. They're disgusting.
She's a woman, like, after our own heart. Yeah.
Flabby, flaccid. You know how I hope you all know my thoughts on any kind of milk pudding. And this falls into that camp, obviously. Anything flabby, blancmange, this, anything, they're all horrible. I don't care if you call it burnt cream or you call it, like, you have some fancy name for it. They're all gross, horrible things. So I was not happy about this.
I do agree with you in general on a wobbly pud. I have occasionally enjoyed a panna cotta, but it's got to be like mango flavour or something where it feels like it's not too sickly. I do like a creme brulee, but that's because it's not wobbly if it's done right. That's just like creamy. A creme caramel, a blancmange, agree. I just, no.
Grim,
wobbly
grim.
Cream. Wobbly milk. That it should. It's only that consistency if you've left it out too long. I tell you what, wobbly cream, wobbly milk feels like to me. When I lived, and I probably talked about this on the main podcast before, when I lived on London Road in my first flat after uni in Bath, we lived on a ground floor, and there was like a sort of, there was a basement flat that had a sort of bit that jutted out underneath our window that was the basement flat. So it was almost like a balcony, but you couldn't go out onto it. And the person above us, I have no idea what possessed them to do this. They used to throw their rubbish onto that. So it would like sit outside our window. And I mean, there were like, I remember there being a whole block of cheese, and the seagull flew away with it in its beak. like...
She's doing an L shape with her fingers.
I am, because the beak was stretched to capacity. And I mean, bonkers. I don't know what they were playing at. It was super weird. But the grossest thing that they threw out there, which was what caused us in the end to say, what the fuck are you doing? And to ask permission to go out onto it to clear it all up, was milk. And that milk was there for months, and it got to a point that it was literally solid, and it was the consistency of creme caramel. And so I will never ever eat something like that in my life again. It was almost green. I'm sure it might have been green. I might be dramatizing it in hindsight, but
oh my god. And look, they put this on actual Bake Off. I mean,
I know.
It's disgusting. And then Dan decides to put, like, to make one of them, like, Thai curry flavour or something. It's like, what are you doing?
That
what
actually...
What are you doing?
I, controversially, having just mouthed off about creme caramels, that's the only one I might have tried. I think my fear of, like, oh, but then it is the consistency, isn't it? Because my fear with those milky puds is like, whereas something like lime and lemongrass and stuff might cut through that and be a bit less...
Yeah, I think when I looked at all of them, the only ones that I would have eaten would have been sakis, because they looked, the consistency looked kind of more solid, I think.
And then so she I'll got be slagged like, off for that, didn't she?
I know.
So, and Dan's, who are falling apart, I'm pretty sure they were like, yeah, he got fucking Sal Baker.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert. But
they were, and then... I tell you what, I was super impressed with Matty. I don't know what's going on with him. I wonder if, like, at the end of this, we're going to find out that actually he works in, like, a patisserie or something, because...
Yeah.
Like, he's coming
up from... He's a student of Bertinet Bakery or something.
Yeah, he's coming up from nowhere. And, like, was it Dan that turned around and said, oh, I wish I'd done... So Matty had made 12 so that he could choose the best 8. I mean, that's
and
amazing.
And he says, oh, I didn't realise even what the challenge was. I thought I had to make 12. Ha, 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 ha. I'm such a twat. And I think he's cleverer than that. I think he's
a smart
secretly,
cookie.
Yeah. I really, really like Matty.
I honestly like Matty.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did make the semi-finals now.
Yeah. I thought he was amazing. And the cuddle that he... That comes later on, doesn't it? The cuddle. He and Tasha. Do you think there's something between him and Tasha?
Well, I think he's talked about having a girlfriend, right?
Oh.
I know, because at the beginning they showed the two of them like going for a run or something.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think.
Bums.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Is there such a thing as a bake-off curse like there is in Strictly? Do people get together in bake-off?
Imagine. I wonder if anyone has got together in bake-off. I will look that up in a quiet moment and let you know.
Sandro and whoever. Or
yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. Tricky to know. They all seem such good friends.
I wanted to say that I was very disappointed that, as far as I was aware, I didn't know whether you saw this, there was a lot of talk about wobble and wobbling, and I don't think Tasha did the sign for wobble.
Wobble.
I don't think she did.
I didn't see that.
I wanted that to be my new thing that I learned for this week, but I was looking out for it, and I don't think she did it at any point. Gutting. Another thing that I wrote down in my notes here, which is just a stupid joke that it wasn't a joke. It was just like a weird thing that I thought at one point, you know, Josh has obviously got a lovely relationship with his nan.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down something about this too. Yeah, go on.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, it was so sweet and he had the picture and everything. And he was making butterflies to go on top of his thing. And I think at one point, Alison came over and she went, oh, it's funny because you don't see many. And I think she went on to say like butterflies but I 100% thought she was going to say, that's funny, so you don't see that many shrines to dead nans in the Bake Off tent. Because it was like just as they panned to this like this framed photo of her. And like, I don't think there were candles, but there may as well have been candles.
It was really weird, wasn't it? The thing I wrote down was that I think his kind of quote was that she had said to him, his gran, rather, not Alison, whenever you see a butterfly, that's me watching you.
Which that's really lovely.
You think lovely. I've written down the word creepy, actually. And then just thought, like, what can I say on my deathbed to Dave? Like, what's going to be watching him? I'd be like, it has to be something that's going to be there all the time, something that's slightly threatening. You know, whenever you look at, I don't know, like, what do I...
Chonky seal for me.
Whenever you'll be chonky seal, I'll be like, whenever you look at the Hoover, that's me looking at you. Keeping an eye on your inactivity.
Mine would probably be our chonky seal, who's like a big squish mallow seal that was an impulse purchase from Instagram. But it is a bit confusing because we do refer to him as our son already. So if I'm like, oh, when I die, just look into the eyes of our son. I mean, actually, that's quite nice.
I think that is quite nice. I'm still trying to find BSL for wobble.
Yeah.
And I found Makaton, and I know that's very different. I can't find wobble.
I can't find wobble. Maybe wobble doesn't really exist. If I'm anybody knows shaky. British Sign Language, then please let us know what wobble is.
If it's Makaton, you literally just do this. You just wobble your head a bit.
Oh, that's...
That's for
you wobble
that's
around.
For, that's for jelly.
Okay.
So that's very specific.
I did want to note the fact that I think it was Saku's. It might have been Matty's. That they said it was like a hot dog creme caramel. Did you clock that?
That sounded awful. It was quite nice, a nice descriptor, but yeah, pretty grim.
it was pretty grim. It reminded me of, I follow this bloke on Instagram who does a series called Will It Sourdough, and he makes various things and sees whether he can do a sourdough loaf out of them. And actually, a lot of, that's very, you know, hot dogs could potentially be one of them, though. He does sometimes make really good ones that I'm like, oh, I could really go for that. Like, he did a banoffee sourdough where he like mixed in toffee to the dough and then topped it with like bananas and stuff. And he was like, this is actually amazing.
but a hot dog creme caramel, I don't think that's, those things shouldn't be together in a taste.
I mean, that is basically, I don't want to put you off it for the rest of your life, but that I suppose is basically pate. It's a hot dog creme caramel.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
Not great.
Yeah. Not brilliant. Not brilliant. So, I mean, who did the best here?
Well, they loved Dan's. They loved Matty's. Apart from the hot dog consistency, they liked his flavours a lot.
I tell you what was.
And Matty had a mare, but it worked out. It worked out really well in the end, didn't it? I was on the edge of my seat for Matty's. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. I thought that the girls here. I shouldn't say the girls. The women. I thought that all of theirs looked really lovely. So you had Christie's orange one. Tasha's looked beautiful. I've now forgotten what they look like. Saku's looked lovely as well. All of them were considered
Tasha's
either overcooked
fig and
or
honey
too sweet.
Ones.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have liked... Oh, yeah, because there was too much honey swimming. I wouldn't have liked that because I hate honey. I would have tasted Christie's ones because they're orange and that sounded quite nice to me.
I'm not really into orange. I like an orange, but like orange chocolate and orange puds and stuff, not really for me. My mum made me a chocolate orange cake once and that was really nice. So like sometimes I'll go for it, but got to be quite specific because you know when it tastes like not real, that makes it taste a bit like cowpole.
That's exactly how I feel about lemon. So I don't really like if there was a lemon drizzle cake and an orange drizzle cake, we'd know which way to go, wouldn't we, the two of us?
Yeah.
Because it would be brilliant. We'd be having the fun times because you'd be smashing the lemon, I'd be smashing the orange. But yeah, fake lemon flavour is grim. So
take it in any form, to be honest. Inject it directly into my eyeballs.
Not again, not this week.
Oh.
Okay, so like... It was a bit of a mixed bag, wasn't it? But
it was kind of a mixed bag. But I think you're probably right. I think of all the ones that we would have eaten, the women had the advantage there. But I feel like in terms of the ones that they congratulated, like they liked Josh's a lot.
I
think that the blokes could be, yeah. It felt like a bit of a game of. Quite a gendered game this week, didn't it?
It was.
It felt like the sort of women went up and down together and so did the men.
Yeah, it was really strange, actually.
Well, should we move on to the signature? Yeah, let's.
We've just done the technical signature.
So let's do the technical. Sorry. We came back from New York and we're both still a bit jet-lagged and exhausted. Let's get technical.
Technical time.
We don't usually make mistakes, so...
No, we never. It's usually a mistake-free thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so technical. So we have now, with the technical, got, I think it was orange treacle sponge puddings. Does that sound right? I don't know why I've put the word treacle in there.
Yeah, treacle puds. Orange treacle puds.
Yeah. And I said right at the start, as you would expect from the last thing that we talked about, I've put that this sounds lush and I'd love it, but you wouldn't.
No, I don't think I would really like. I mean, sponge steamed puddings. Try as I like, not really for me.
Oh my god!
I find them a bit rubbery and a bit weird. I tried to make one a few Christmases ago, and it was a lot of effort for something a bit meh.
Oh, my mother-in-law makes a steamed golden syrup pudding, and. I mean, it does make your gums hurt. It's so sugary. It's unbelievable. And I think I remember her saying that the original recipe from decades ago called for something like 2 tablespoons of golden syrup in the base of your pudding. But actually pours in like half of it. She just wangs in loads. And so it's super, super syrupy. But she also, I didn't realize that the sponge pudding aspect of it, because it's not suet. And I think suet puddings, I agree.
Suet puddings make me feel quite sick.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Christmas pud, it's such a shame, but I really don't like Christmas pudding. The only time I've ever heard, and I've not tried this, but I've heard Jay Rayner talk about doing Christmas pudding where a few days later you take a slice, you fry it in butter.
Fry it.
And then that makes it a little, that makes it quite nice. But the actual Christmas pud itself, and it's so sad. I feel sad because it's a lovely tradition, but it's, my mum insists every year on doing a big Christmas pud and then no one eats it.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. What I have done with it in the past is use it as the base, like leftover, use the base of it as a trifle base. And I think that's nice. That kind of works because it's so kind of intensely rich. To have that as just kind of a part of your kind of taste sensation is quite nice.
Oh, but I quite like the idea of that, actually.
It's nice. Yeah. No, I prefer Christmas cake like 10 times more than Christmas pudding.
Christmas cake, bit dense, bit marzipan-y for me.
Yes. Not mine, though. I'm going to make you some Christmas cake this year because I make a light one.
Perfect. And has it got marzipan?
No. No marzipan in it.
Good.
No. No.
Oh, absolutely don't like marzipan.
Not. I hate marzipan. Yeah. So I don't know why we're doing a baking podcast. It's ridiculous. How many things do we hate in the world of baking?
We're not qualified
lemons,
to do this.
Lemons, oranges,
we're not qualified.
Marzipan, fruit, suet, sugar,
cakes.
Flour. Yeah. Generally hate them.
But we are good at passing judgment. So
yes, we are. And this was a fabulous technical. Everyone did so well.
It was iconic. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed how much they all laughed. It was so fun to watch.
So did I.
Yeah. I mean, I said it was a sad episode. It was a sad episode, I imagine, for the bakers and at this moment, but it was actually quite enjoyable for us as a viewer because, oh my gosh, it was just hilarious watching them all flail.
It was awful. They
bless
all
them.
Failed miserably. And when, like, there was a bit where I was like really put out by Paul because he said at some point, this is disgusting. And then at another point is like nil point or something. And it was like, that's really horrible. But because they were all falling about laughing, it actually didn't. It wasn't saying it to a weeping person.
I agree. I did have some choice words for Paul. I think at one point he said, consider yourself roasted to them. And I felt like saying, consider yourself roasted, Paul Hollywood, because you didn't give them enough time. If a couple of them had not managed to get it out, then okay, they didn't do very well. But every single person's was raw. Your fault. You set them a bad challenge.
Yeah, it's a terrible challenge. And who, I would never, ever put in a cake that size, like a ramekin sponge cake. I would never put that in the oven for 40 minutes. Never. You cook a Victoria sponge for 20, like a full size one. Why would they have thought? Yeah, absolutely not. So, bastard.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Absolutely
stupid.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Yes, but it did. What it led to was both Tasha and Matty, both of the way that they presented one of them presented their little sponge puddings, so it was in the shape of a cock. Did you see?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Love that.
Which I think was why they were falling about laughing, when they fell into each other's arms in hysteria, because it was the kind of cock and balls of the sponge pudding arrangement.
Well, if anything is going to bring us together, it's going to be a cock and balls.
Isn't it?
So actually,
I was so proud.
Later, Christy tried to make a cock and balls to go inside her meringue. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Poor
that stupid joke. I mean, it was just, I thought that it was really unfair. It was clearly unfair because so many of them failed at it. I mean, I don't know, maybe they just all are crap at a steamed sponge pudding, but...
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It seemed like they didn't give him enough time.
They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't. But, and generally, though, I still stand by my guns that I think that this series, they've thought really hard about what they're giving them. They're not giving them stuff that's like super, super, super technical. It's not 16 layered cakes and they're not giving them 6 hours to do it and stuff like that. They are. Mm-mm. It's quite basic, but it's stuff that you could do at home if you had the full recipe. None of it looks weird.
Yeah.
Particularly the technicals. So I think they're mostly good, but this was stupid. If they'd have given them the hint that this was a 2 hour bake, they all would have baked them for much longer. So
yeah, agreed. Yeah. Agreed. For sure.
Yeah. Set it up to fail.
Is there anything we can really say about this? Tasha did the least terrible. Matty did the most terrible.
Yeah, Matty was last. And that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the rest all fell somewhere in between. It was interesting here because I'm not calling a Matty conspiracy because, as we said, I think Matty has been really strong, but he didn't do that well in the signature. Like, they did say that it was hot dog consistency, and then he came last in the technical, and then they went, oh, so I think the boys are okay and the girls are in trouble. And it's like, I think very, Matty's very in big trouble, babes. Yeah.
Yeah, he should have been in big trouble, shouldn't he?
I don't understand quite why he wasn't in big trouble, but then it's always difficult because we can't actually taste the stuff that maybe his hot dog thingies tasted incredible.
Tasted okay. Mm. Yeah. And I can't, and when I look down the list of what they did for this, in fact, let's move on to Signature. Should we move on to Signature?
Should we move on to Showstopper?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What's going on? I'm so sorry.
Honestly, we are so exhausted. And yeah, we've got loads going on. I think our minds are all over the place today.
Okay.
But let's move on to the showstopper. Yes. The jingle will sort us out, get us in the right mindset.
Showstopper.
Beautifully done.
Right. There we are. I'm in the mindset.
Okay.
This is a meringue bomb, right?
Yes, with an E. I didn't put an E in my notes. Don't want to get the FBI bomb. Knocking on my door.
Bomb. So here, the thing that I noted just to begin with was when the judges are talking about what this means precisely, and Prue's pronunciation of sphere was hilarious.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Oh, she's so posh. That it came out like, I tried to write it down phonetically and it was like sephur, sphur, sphur,
sphur,
sphur,
sphur,
sphur,
sphur,
sphur, sphur, sphur,
meringue, yeah. Sphur. Oh, she's so funny.
Meringue, meringue,
sphur. Meringue, sphur, sphur. It's quite hard to know how you would even say that. Sphur.
I know, sphur.
It needs to be a sphur, sphur.
A
sphere. Absolutely. I think that's darling. And you'll need a sphere.
A sphere. It's too hard. A sphere. It's too hard. I remember back at like about 30 years ago, and RIP Tara Palmer Tomkinson, I remember her saying that in order to sound like a very, very posh person from Sloane Street, that you needed to say three words. And they are, and you have to repeat after me, air.
You have air.
To air. Hair.
Air. Hair.
Lair. Yeah. Lair.
A-hair-lair. A-hair-lair. Yeah, my family say that all the time. I didn't realise that came from Tara Palmer Tomkinson or whatever her name is.
There you go.
How did she die? I remember her from my childhood. What happened to her? Did she die in a skiing accident?
No. Well, that would have been tragic too, but I think it was a tragic-y thing. I think it was probably an overdose or something like that. I don't know.
She was, oh bless.
Yeah, something. I cut something not
that's
good,
like deep in the memory of my childhood somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ehele. 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 Yeah, my family do say that a lot. I noted that Saku's son is a bee.
Saku's son is a bee.
That's what she said. What she said, mean? My son is a bee.
My son is a bee. She's mental. She's mental.
She's mental. I guess there must be a bee tale. I'm afraid this was when I was also trying to make French onion soup when I was watching this bit. So I didn't hear the backstory, but I did very clearly hear her say, my son is a bee.
I didn't hear that, but I was so concentrating on her making the queen bee by...
Oh, yeah, with its lips.
With its lips on its head. But I loved her. I thought it looked amazing.
I thought it looked really good too. Yeah, I felt really, really bad for the fact that the bottom of it cracked. I mean, really, this is what annoys me about this show. There isn't, you don't give them time to do it again. What do you expect? It doesn't matter how good a baker you are. Surely sometimes that stuff's just going to happen. Meringue is cracky. Like, it's going to do that sometimes if it's the right consistency.
Exactly, right? And my personal thing is that meringue, it should crack. Like, under meringue in the dictionary, it should say, like, cracky thing.
Cracky, sweet egg white thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was quite silly. That was shit. So generally speaking, before we get into kind of judging all of their bakes, do you like the concept of this? What do you think of this
I love meringue, but really I like meringue that's quite gooey. Like, I like to be able to bite into it and it's like, oh, there's a bit of chew inside, crunchy on the outside, a bit chewy on the inside. I love Italian meringue and Swiss meringue on top of a lovely tart or something. Straight hard meringue, like the kinds of little meringue nests that you get it pre-packaged in Tesco's, I could eat them, could not, sort of thing. Like, they're a bit neutral to me. I also thought that it was a little bit like, in terms of eating it, don't think I was fussed. I thought the idea that they kept calling it a sharing pud as well was confusing, because that's, I think, why a lot of them went down the route of the choux pastry, because how are you supposed to share it? Are you supposed to sort of crack the bomb and then open it up and then grab a... I suppose that's what you are supposed to do, but it felt like an odd... I've never seen anything like that. I don't really know what it is. And it did seem like they criticized them for spending too long on the meringue rather than the stuff that was inside. But then it felt like the only real... the only thing they'd really asked of them was the meringue bomb.
Yeah, and what was the pudding? What was the showstopper last week? Where wasn't it all the same sort of thing, that it was like all mouth and no trousers? That it was like everyone spent time on the outsidey bit, and then the inside. Well, Dana's did that. Yeah, you know, kind of the glass box, didn't she? But they did a box thing. Was that last week or the week before?
Yes, they did a box thing, and that was the other thing where they got criticised for. Spending too long in the box and not on the bacon side. But it's like, well, then don't make the challenge about putting it in a fucking box or whatever.
Exactly. And yeah,
this is going back into some of the stuff that you've complained about before, where it's like, when it doesn't feel like it's about the baking or about making things that you could bake at home. It seemed like that one was just a little bit of a trap, where it was like they wanted to watch everybody's meringues crack. But because we'd already had a signature where where it had all gone horribly wrong, it didn't feel like, oh, whose meringue's gonna... It was just a bit sad. I was like, oh, this feels like they're... Like at the end where Alison tried to be like, well done, guys! And it was just like tumbleweed because they were all exhausted and...
I think, like, of these three things... that they've baked, that I'd probably go for this, because I mean the middle ones were just disaster and didn't work anyway. But I think yeah, like you, too many of the meringues were too crispy for my liking, that you could see, couldn't you, that they were going to be that kind of, yeah, bought in Sainsbury's in plastic kind of white consistency. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, meringue for me, the meringue I really like is not white. I like it to be kind of caramel and colour and totally chewy and lush.
Oh,
my dad used to do
that.
That's the nicest thing. He used to do, like, this is, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago even, he would do a Christmas dessert that we would have a lot. It must have been a Delia. He did pray at the altar of Delia. So it was probably her. And it was layers of that kind of meringue. And I remember that he would, you know, remember the baking of them in the oven, like really, really, really long and low kind of thing. And it would be like three discs of this very, very chewy, very quite brown meringue. And then layered between it would be sort of cream and sort of marron glacé, I think, that kind of chestnutty thing in between.
Marron glacé.
It was just...
Didn't we talk about marron glacé last Christmas? Because it's so difficult to get marron glacé. This is the most... dull middle class thing I've ever said, but our family recipe for a bûche de Noël or a chocolate log, as they're sometimes known, a Yule log, involves marron glacé, and it is incredibly difficult to find marron glacé. But Delia requests it, so it's difficult.
Yeah, although it is for a very 1980s recipe from, you know, back in the day, so I don't know if it's
but that's the one that's what Granny used to make, and that's what we all still make. I have to confess, my friend, I can't remember if I've talked about her before, but my best friend when I was in school, her mum is a baker. And she used to make amazing things like shortbreads and stuff. And we would go around, oh my God, she makes the best shortbread in the world. But one of the things that she used to make was a Yule log that was properly like a chocolate log that was like Nutella tasting. It was amazing.
Wow.
And so my family would have this, I feel really bad if my mum's listening to this, but my granny and my mum would make this thing with marron glacé that was like a flourless sponge that was all of, a bit 1980s, that Delia was in the Delia Christmas book. And then I would sort of go, oh, yay, and have a little bit of that. And then I would go over to Lil's house and eat like half a chocolate log. Oh, that was my secret Christmas logs.
Enjoying someone else's Christmas logs more than your, yeah.
Oh, there's so many Christmas log euphemisms to happen from this if someone takes this podcast out of context. But yeah, where did that come from, the marron glacé? Oh, meringue. Yes.
Meringue.
I think,
okay, so
I tell you what, actually, while we're on the vein of these sort of Delia Smith things, I did make a note of the fact that at one point Prue went, oh, well, it sounds quite modern, which I think is never a compliment coming from someone like Prue Leith, is it?
No.
It sounds rather modern.
What was modern? What was it? Whose was it?
I believe it was Christie's meringue doodah, which I personally thought, I know they were disappointed by her croque en bouche not working out, but I thought if the tarts were supposed to be the meringue bomb, it looked like
incredible.
Fine anthropology. It looked amazing.
That was truly amazing. It was stunning. Stunning looking. Mm-hmm. Those different coloured little kind of meringue like kisses, weren't they? Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Right, talking about girls versus boys here, right? When they go around, they went to Josh first, who's like Wimbledon one. Prue was like, oh, the piping looks amazing. But it fucking didn't. It looked shit.
Sorry, Josh. You seem like
Josh.
A lovely person. I'm conscious
nice guy.
Of the fact that we've
nice
slagged
guy.
Off your nan and we're saying that you're piping shit in this episode. But I do agree. I thought that the
honestly,
piping was wank.
The pudding inside
looked
good.
I mean, I'm not saying I could do any better, but yeah, come on.
No, not great.
And
not
Dan's,
great.
Again, I know that it's difficult to make a world. Or whatever, but come on, Dan's was just like some green and blue meringue. And they were like, wow, oh my God, you've done so good.
Yeah, whereas Tasha's, she had the cherry blossom. And that looked beautiful.
Christy.
Beautiful.
The kisses.
Gorgeous.
Bees. It was great.
That was so, the look of it was amazing. She'd done all that no one else's had that kind of texture that she had. It was I don't know how she'd done that. It was incredible.
I know.
Really incredible.
I can't even remember what Matty's was or what it looked like.
I've written down messy and floral. And I've said he's done loads, but so. So they were kind of like about it.
Okay. See, no offense, but to me, Matty was in just as much trouble as Saku. And for some reason, he wasn't. I don't think that the wrong person went home. I obviously am devastated. I'm sure you are too, Esther. She was the light of the tent we adored her. But I do think that they didn't even discuss Matty. It seemed to be between Christy and Saku. And
yes,
I thought that was really odd.
Bonkers. It's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Because, hers just, it looked absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I was just,
Her profiteroles looked a little bit sloppy inside, but plenty of other people. Again, it's the curse of saying, I'm going to make a croque en bouche. Because Saku and Tasha stuck profiteroles in the middle of their thing and they were like, wow, that's
And that
cool.
was fine. Yeah. Exactly. What's the difference between a profiterole and a croque en bouche?
A croque en bouche is a stack of profiteroles in a triangular shape, a bit like a Christmas tree, because I believe it is originally a Christmas pud.
But it is basically profiteroles.
It is profiteroles, just in a stack, and then I think it's covered in sponge sugar or something so that it kind of holds its thing.
Holds together. All right.
Would love, if my mum is listening to this and she is thinking about getting a Christmas pudding for Christmas this year, I mean, I'm just putting a bid in for a croque en bouche. That's much more my cup of tea.
Croque en bouche would be really nice. But basically,
I wonder if you can
Christy
just order
did.
One from Waitrose, you know, like just get someone
I'm sure
to.
You can. I'm sure you can. But all Christy did was deconstruct it, right? So it was a croque en bouche.
It was a deconstructed croque en bouche. Yeah.
There we go.
So, well, justice for the girls, for the women in this episode, basically, I think, because poor old Saku, we were concerned. We were getting concerned that her days in the tent were numbered. I think her employer will be pleased to have her back.
Yeah.
she didn't have any more annual leave left. So,
no.
But yeah, I think disappointing that she's gone. I'll really, really miss her. But I think, to be honest, it pains me to say that probably the right baker left. But I do think that the girls were unfairly discriminated against. And because it was a sort of, maybe a bit of a more artistic-y week, we had some awards for good boys going on there.
Yeah, we did.
You know, it was a little bit.
It does seem it was unfairly balanced, wasn't it? I think
a tiny bit. If we were judging on how they looked, I guess it's always hard to tell because we don't know how they tasted. Dan obviously did. He won Star Baker.
He did win Star Baker. Yeah,
between him and Josh, I do think that was fair. I do think it was probably that those two were the best.
He did the world trifle. He was second in technical.
Second in technical. And then they really liked his funny lemongrass
weird
creme caramels. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So
okay.
He took some risks and he did a good job. I think it was very close between him and Josh, but they were just a bit more blown away by Josh's by Dan's thingy. And he did better in the technical than Josh.
Yeah, but then what about Tasha? I think they discarded Tasha really quickly.
I think they did too.
Because I think, I remember that they said that
her bomb kept falling over.
Her bomb kept falling over. Her creme caramels looked beautiful but were too sweet. I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? I think she did all right for technical. Oh, anyway, I don't know, but. I guess we didn't taste it.
I know.
But yeah, I'm miserable about Saku. I don't know what to go back for now, next week, apart
from
the...
I know, me too. I think I'm holding out for Matty has really come through as the light of the... Mm-hmm. He's the new light of the tent, I think.
He's got a lot of work to do, I think.
He has to catch up with the likes of Saku and Rowan.
Exactly.
Oh, I wonder if I've still... I did actually still have my dark glasses. I should have worn. I didn't realise. I'll put them on quickly just to end the episode, just in Saku's memory. I'm putting them on over the top of my actual glasses, so it looks a bit strange. But I think the rest of them, I've got to say, Tasha's very sweet.
Yes.
But Matty's the only one left with any crack, I think, really.
Yeah, Christy isn't. Dan isn't.
Bless Christy. She's lovely, but she's just a bit of a fretter. Dan, bless him, he's sweet, but he's not a barrel of laughs. Josh,
you're right, Matty is the only one.
Yeah, Matty is the only one who's got any crack. I mean, I'm nervous for him that he might be on his way next week too. So, we're tired and jet lagged and grumpy today. So I apologise for the tone of this particular one. But also, Saku went home. Paul Hollywood created the world's shittest technical. And the showstopper was something that doesn't exist and would be horrid to eat.
It would be horrible. Can you imagine a mouthful of that? But you bite through the cardboard of that meringue to get into squidgy pudding. It's like, no, just have to
get into a disappointing trifle. Or a slightly stale shoe bun.
Yeah.
Ugh. Nah.
Terrible. Terrible.
Nah. Yeah, you're right, mate. I'm giving that one a miss.
Next week is Party Bakes week. So I have got high hopes that it's going to turn around and be fun times again. Because
small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I mean, what's not fun about a party, right? So it's got to be fun. S Club party.
I know. I think it will be really good. And in the meantime, I'll prepare a eulogy for Saku and all she gave to that tent. We'll really miss her. I'm really sad that she's not going to be there next week. How can we have a party in these times?
We can't, can we?
It's so insensitive.
Oh, God bless you, Saku. Love you.
I know. You gave us so much joy. If you ever want to come on the pod, give us a shout.
Yeah, we want you.
I'm going to go and blow my nose now. It's not because I've been crying.
She's that sad. She has
a little bit. Oh, it is. Maybe it is.
Yeah. Sad news.
See you next week for party week or whatever it's called.
Party Bakes week. Yay. Hurrah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.